Nutty Bites is geek approved by the Geek Out with Mainframe podcast. Let your geek flag fly high.
Hi, I just died in your arms tonight. It must have been something to say.
Welcome to Nutty Bites for the month of April.
What's awesome in April?
So, my mixed nuts, assorted nuts, not quite sure still what to call you. I've gotten lots of really good advice, opinions, suggestions, and somebody even mentioned that I should make a Facebook group for the podcast. I don't know if you guys are interested in that. If you are, please let me know. If you are, I will create a Facebook group where we can chat and share links and whatever, because I know that some people find Facebook groups more inviting than forums, because forums are kind of old-fashioned or whatever. And then there's people who don't like Facebook, so whatever. I'm good for anything. If I do make a Facebook group, I want to call it whatever I'm going to call you guys. So it'll probably be Nutty's Mixed Nuts or Assorted Nuts. I'm kind of going with the Mixed Nuts or Assorted Nuts. There's the least bit of innuendo and double entendre there, I believe. So please let me know. Would you rather be mixed or sorted? I'm also thinking that if that's the case, then I can give out special nut awards, like the pistachio nut award or the macadamia nut award, and really get into this whole nut thing. And I've got a couple of people that I'm already pretty interested in doing that with. Mostly it's the people that are pimping, promoting, and being awesome. Okay, so what's happened in the month of April? Well, lots of things have happened. When we get into the what I'm watching, I'll talk a little bit about Game of Thrones. But before I do that, what's happened in the month of April? Well, you see, I have started a new podcast. Okay, I didn't start it, but I was invited to join it, and I'm on it, and it's a very big deal to me. Basically, with PG Holyfield, Christiana Ellis, Chooch and Viv Schubert, and myself, we are producing a podcast called Beyond the Wall, a Game of Thrones podcast, which I just found out today there's another Beyond the Wall Game of Thrones podcast, but they came out after us. Darn it. Anyway, basically, we are reviewing the HBO series Game of Thrones and discussing it and talking about it. We've all read the books, so if you're interested, you can listen to it, but we will not spoil you. See, the thing is, we want people who are just watching the series to be able to listen to our podcast and get lots of information. For instance, when something happens on the show, if it doesn't correlate with the books, we kind of point it out and we'll talk about if things are better, things are worse, blah, blah, blah. Geekness. This podcast, the Beyond the Wall podcast, is an explicit podcast. Now, you all know that Nutty Bites is PG rated, and there's no swearing. And if people swear, I bleep it out and put in funny censor words. But Beyond the Wall, no. There's lots of cursing there. So it's probably not safe for you to play over speakers over work, but you could listen to it with earbuds. And I wouldn't play it around your kids. But then again, we're discussing Game of Thrones, and that's not for kids either. So it's pretty self-explanatory. Okay, so next up. I got an awesome review from B.A. Matthews, and I'm going to read that for you now. And basically, B.A. Matthews sent me a tweet on Twitter saying, I don't want to create an iTunes account, so how do I leave you a review? Because the thing is, in order to create an iTunes account, you either have to hook it up with your credit card. I didn't do that. I'm not going to do that. Or buy a gift card and use a gift card. That's what I did because I buy stuff from iTunes. Not everybody wants to do that. So I totally understand that. If you don't want to sign up with iTunes, that's totally fine. Do whatever. I know that there's like Podcast Alley and stuff like that. I don't know how many people actually use those resources anymore. So if you want to create a review there, that's fine. You can send me the link. I'd be very excited to see it. I love getting feedback and I love getting reviews and I think it's awesome. That people will take the time to do that, because I am probably the worst person to do that. So I actually make a point, like every 3 months I go through my podcasts and I see, have I put a review for everyone. And I go through and I make sure I review. So anyway, BA didn't want to do that. So instead, on BA's site, there is a review. It's a whole post dedicated, well, not just to me, but to a couple of podcasts. And the title of the post is Update What I'm Listening To. And I think that's awesome because that's one of my segment titles, but I'm sure that's not where the title came from. I'm just going to read the part that pertains to me. There will be a link in the show notes for everything else. And by the way, BA also talks about Fetidus, which I'm sure many of you have heard me say. Fetidus is freaking awesome. So awesome. It's not a audiobook. It's not an audio drama. It's an audio experience. That's how I describe it. Anyway, back to me. I've been finding a lot of awesome new podcasts recently, and I thought I'd fill you in on what I'm listening to. Netty Bites. This is a podcast by Nimlas, a self-proclaimed geek. For years, she was known as the podcast ninja since she appeared on other podcasts, but never had her own. She talks about what is awesome during the month, and this woman has good taste for what is awesome. Thank you very much. Has Nutty Debates, where she and a few of her friends discuss the pros and cons of the hard questions like most useless character in sci-fi and Star Trek cast member that you would want to serve under. I've been listening to her show eagerly for the last few months, and if I have any complaints, it's that she only posts one show a month. Definitely one to add to your listening list. Yes, BA, I only post once a month, or one official show a month. I am hoping to put in more bonus material, kind of like I did last month with the SIVA episode, with some nutty fiction. But I don't know how frequent that'll be, so that's why it's a bonus. But in the immortal words of Aaron Makem, I'm just keeping you wanting more. That'll keep everybody wanting to listen to me, right? Right? We've got two great iTunes reviews in the iTunes US store. That's right. The Americans just couldn't take that Canada got the first review. So they had to put two reviews in the US iTunes store. Hey, Canada, you gonna take that? You gonna let them beat you by having two reviews? Come on, Canada, give me another review. Actually, give me two more, because then you can beat the US again. That's right, I'm encouraging this competition. I want the Americans and the Canadians to fight for the right to party. I mean, to be Nutty Bites fans, to be my mixed nuts, to be my assorted nuts. And if you're in Europe, please send me the link to the European iTunes review that you've done, if you've done it, because I can't seem to find the iTunes Europe store or the UK store. So if there are reviews out there, just let me know. I don't know. Anyway, White Star 20 says, a good sci-fi show. 5 stars. If you're like me, you're reluctant to take on any more podcasts to listen to, but give this one a shot. It contains unique viewpoints on art, TV, sci-fi, music, and whatever else she thinks about. You might not always agree, but you'll always be entertained. Thank you, White Star. And I believe White Star is also Richard from Illinois, so thanks a lot. The next is by Therese, aka Rod. You may have heard me talking to him on Sci-Fi Dig in the Digger Chats, and you may know him as, I believe it's Therese07 on Twitter, something like that. Yes, Therese07. He's an awesome guy, and he's got a great relationship blog, and you should definitely look that up. Welcome to Geek Nirvana. 5 stars. If you're looking for a fresh, entertaining, and often hilarious podcast about all things geek, look no further. The host, Nuke Joss, produces a gabfest that makes you feel as though you're in the comfort of your living room discussing with close friends whether or not Han shot first. The topics vary wildly, which keeps the podcasting zipping along at such a clip that at the end, you will wonder, is it over already? In addition, the production values are very impressive. Just give Nuke Joss, aka Nutty, and her cohorts a try. In a genre oversaturated by typical fanboy banter, Nutty Bites is a much-needed breath of fresh air. Thank you, Therese. I try to have a bit of the snark and a bit of realism going on, but I'm also trying to project things that are positive and positivity, and at least in this year, because it's the year of awesome, I often wonder I know it's kind of early in the year to wonder this, but I wonder, season two next year, I don't know what 2012 is supposed to be the year of, other than the last year that we're alive, right? Because the world's going to end. I wonder if the theme of the show will change, but I don't know. I just like things that are awesome, so it might just stick. Although I was informed, I should probably go out, and I heard it on Twitter, but I'm just going to put it here. I was informed by a few people that they were sad they couldn't nominate me for a Parsec because I don't have enough episodes to be eligible for this year. And I thank everyone so much for the thought of nominating me. Yes, my podcast is still in its infancy state, and I guess it's just not ready. But just the fact that people were thinking about it is pretty awesome. If you haven't gone out and nominated some podcasts for Parsec Awards, please go out and do so. There's so many podcasts. I couldn't nominate everyone, but I think I got like a good 8. Anyway, please go out, nominate people for Parsecs. You can find it at parsecawards.org, I think. And basically, these are the premier awards for podcasting. Yeah, so go nominate people for Parsecs, and it's very interesting to see who wins. And I have to say, I've not really complained about any winning decisions because there have been some pretty awesome podcasts in there. Pretty awesome. You know what else is awesome? Portal 2, the game, came out in April. Portal is by far one of the coolest and geekiest games there is. Portal 2 takes all those geeky fun jokes and brings it right back. Cool thing is, this is a game where there's no sex, there's no violence, and yet it can appeal to everyone. It's so much fun, it's so funny. I love Gladys Potato, and I love Wheatley, even though I want to call him Bob. Anyway, go get it, play it, love it. We have it on the PS3, and it's just awesome. The month of May is going to be huge travelness because I'm going to be moving to New Brunswick soon. And so we're going to go do a trip to settle things before we move coming up in May. And we're also going to Balticon. Did she say Balticon? Yes. Yes, I did. I'm going to be heading down to Balticon with Tech and Mark the Encaffeinated One. And I'm looking forward to that like crazy. And oh my God, there's just a few weeks left. I have so much to do to get ready. Feedback.
Hi, New Jeff. I've listened to your bonus episode. This is Richard from Illinois. And I was amazed by your audio fiction. And I know you think the minor glitch where there's a gap in there is a big deal, but it wasn't a big deal to me. The production value and the story were just awesome. I think, you know, as good as any Scott Sigler or Merle Lafferty story or J.C. Hutchins story I've heard. And I would love to hear more. You know, maybe you could do a Tuesday Terror episode for Scott Sigler, a short story, you know, where you wouldn't have to produce it, but maybe just write it. So I was very impressed with your story. So loving the show, as always. I'll talk to you soon.
Oh my God, Richard. Oh my God. Oh my God. Oh my God. Thank you. Thanks so much. That's really awesome feedback. Wow. I was very nervous in posting that. Richard listened to the first version of SIVA, which accidentally went out with some bumpers missing and me forgetting to credit one of my major voice talents. Sorry, Mark, I'm sorry. Anyway, I was rushing to get it done before I went on a trip, and then it took me like almost, what, 2-3 weeks to actually get the thing out properly. Yes, very sorry about that. Listening back, I've learned quite a lot. I possibly over-edited it a bit, trying to take out my breaths and whatnot. I was recording it right after getting over pneumonia, so I was very self-conscious about the breath sounds and stuff because I was on diminished lung capacity and la la la. But I had a lot of fun with that story. I had quite a few people asking me to write more. Actually, I've got some feedback on Twitter from B.A. Matthews. Thank you again. B.A. Matthews, Nuke Jazz, listening to your podcast story of your Shadowrun history. I enjoyed it. And also wondering when April will be going up. Yes, I know. Always so slow. BA posted this on the 28th. So, yeah, there's definite reason for where's your podcast episode? I know that's a little late. Sorry. Anyway, thanks a lot. I enjoyed it. I did explain that if I were to write somebody else, oh, I can't remember, but somebody else asked about the Siva character and would we be hearing more from her? And I did explain that if I were to write more stories about her, they would be in her modern storyline where she's all grown up and she's an urban brawler and everything else. So it would be a little bit interesting. As for writing for Tuesday Terror, wow. I don't know. I'm not quite sure about my horror skills, but then again, I'm not quite sure about my any writing skills. I do have a couple pieces of nutty fiction that I didn't write that I want to get on there, one of which I want the author to read because he has a really good voice. So nutty fiction will be more than just my own writing. But yeah, I might put some more of my stuff here. We'll see. Probably not so long. I'll probably do more Flash or Drabbles or things like that because it takes a lot to produce 45 minutes.
What are you listening to?
Number one, I listened to the first book of Archangel by Scott Roche, and I have now started the second book of Archangel. And I'm really excited to see where that goes. It's really, really very good. I felt that the characters were very real. It was really interesting. I love Scott's writing style. I've listened to several of his short stories before, and I've read some of his short stories as well. And I really like his work, and there's something else that I really like, but I can't go into it. Anyway, you may know Scott Roche from Twitter as Spiritual Tramp, but Archangel is definitely worth listening to. The name suggests some ideas that it'd be like, oh, this is a Jesus-thumping Christian thing, and it's not. The characters are religious, but Archangel has nothing to do, the title has nothing to do with what you think it has to do with. And you're not going to feel like it's shoving anything down your throat. I actually thought it was really interesting and very realistic. The characters were very realistic of people that I know who are, you know, religious Christians and so forth. And he had lots of different types also. That was really cool. And it's not just everybody's a Christian either. It's interesting. Just go listen to it. I will say that it's kind of tricky to get your hands on it, because somehow iTunes stopped the feed and you can't get it through iTunes anymore. So you have to go to the site and load the feed. And the first book, for some reason, I couldn't automatically download a lot of it. So I had to go and manually download stuff. But it's definitely worth it. And if anyone's having trouble getting their hands on it and you want help, I'm pretty sure I still have them on my computer. I could probably zip it for you and, I don't know, Dropbox, that'd be huge, but we'll figure a way because it's definitely worth getting your hands on. The other thing is I have started The Traitor Tales by Nathan Lowell. I believe there's, what, 4 or 6 books in the series now. I'm up to book 3. I was scared. I was scared of listening to this because there's so much. And I've heard pieces of it. Like, I've heard Nathan read excerpts of the book. Live, but like I said, there's a lot there, and I was afraid of getting into something and not being able to listen completely because there were so many other podcasts or I was too busy or blah 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 excuses. Anyway, definitely worth listening to. I want to get the book for my brother who's a merchant marine, and I'd love to ask Nathan, probably will when I'm at Balticon, if he has any Merchant Marine influences, because there's a lot of stuff there that kind of felt true to me. Little disclosure, my father and two of my brothers are Merchant Marines, so I kind of grew up in that world a little bit. I actually considered being a Merchant Marine before I decided to become a starving artist. And so it was very interesting. I love the idea that people on a ship get a percentage of the profit, and so it actually makes them more mindful of what expenses are spent, not being wasteful. Very interesting. More importantly, and I actually talked about this on the April Digger chat, the way that Nathan Lowell reads a book is outstanding. I mean, it's better than, I mean, I listen to a lot of audiobooks, a lot of audiobooks, and I have my whole life. And he does it so much better than like the best of the audiobook readers. There's something about the way that he reads the book that conveys the emotion just through his voice alone. And then he's got the words to back it up. It's so good. And I would love to be able to be that talented. I now listen to some audiobooks after listening to Trader Tales, and I think, wow, you guys kind of suck in comparison. I know it's horrible, but it's like, I don't know. He's kind of ruined me. But definitely worth listening to. Go get it. And didn't know I was going to get a little weepy about a certain character in the second book. Thanks a lot, Nathan. All right. You can find him as N. Lowell on Twitter, by the way. What am I watching? Oh my God, Game of Thrones. Oh my God, Game of Thrones. Oh my God, Game of Thrones. Yeah, I'm pretty much obsessed with Game of Thrones. I watch it on Sunday. I make a feast in the Westeros style. 2 weeks in a row, I made lemon cakes, and my husband's like, woo, woo, yay, lemon cakes. This week, I made like this banana nut cranberry bread. It's not referenced in the books, but I'm sure they'd enjoy it. It's much better than brown bread, and I wasn't going to make brown bread because that just didn't sound good. Brown bread is in the books. Anyway, Game of Thrones, so awesome, so good, so much fun. Yay. I'll watch it on Sunday. We'll eat our feast generally before and then have our dessert during the show because it airs at like 10 o'clock or whatever. Then, on Monday, while I'm working, I watch it about 2 or 3 times again so that I can get ready for the podcast, which is recorded on Monday night. And then throughout the week, I am kicking myself for all the things I didn't say on the podcast. But I am loving the show. I'm seeing a lot of positive feedback, but I can't help but notice some negative feedback. And I can't help but think that people are picking on such inconsequential things because they don't have anything good to complain about. Number one, you can't get upset over sex and violence in an HBO show. It's all about sex and violence. Have you not seen True Blood? Trust me. It's much more disturbing there. Spartacus, I know that's not HBO, but still, Spartacus blends in. Please, then come talk to me. Game of Thrones is mild in comparison, but it's not mild in any way. Trust me. There's some violence, and there's some sex, and there's some swearing. But it's good. It's really good. And the violence is needed. The sex is generally needed. The swearing, essential, I think. You know, this is not a story about nothing but the most pure and innocent and chaste people. You know, it's down and dirty. You're going to get that. So, yeah. Game of Thrones. Watch it. Watch it, watch it, watch it, watch it. I did say that I was going to reconvene my little council and hopefully get some more to talk about Game of Thrones. But because I started the Beyond the Wall podcast, I kind of pushed that off a little. I still want to do it, but I wanted to let a couple of episodes go by and maybe talk mid-season with my council and get some impressions. That and one of the people I wanted to be in on the call, XK, had lost his voice, so there was no calls to be made for a few weeks. He must have, you know, thrown it out with the epic voice at Pirates or something. I don't know.
Do you feel tired? Bemused by everyday existence? Not so fresh? Then why not try Brain Douche and see what washes out? Brain Douche is a podcast full of thoughts.
One definition of a nerd might be a person who is intensely, but very selectively, detail-oriented.
Questions.
Where did the meme come from that women are intrinsically closer to the divine than men are?
Adventures in Sound.
Faces, bits of broken glass, form or reform into patterns. All from the comfort of my own bed.
And original music. All by some dude named Meredith. That's Brain Douche, freeform audio arts at www.braindouche.net. Brain Douche with Meredith Matthews. Get that fresh, clean feeling. What? Oh, Meredith's not a dude? Oh, sorry.
Art happenings?
So April concluded with my art project. Yes, March was the art month thing, but Lent continued into April, and I missed 2 days due to traveling and just craziness and needing sleep. So I'm sure I can be forgiven for missing 2 days, but I had a lot of fun with it. And one of the things that was really interesting is I did this pop art thing. If you go to Twitter and you see my icon, you can see what it looks like. I make photographs look like pop art. Basically, I take the photo, I draw over them, I add some filters, add some style, mumama. Anyway, pop art. I could go into detail, but that's not what this is about. Anyway, so I did another one for my friend Robin Hudson, and everyone loved it. And I had requests, so I did one for Viv Schubert, and everyone loved it. I had two more requests. So then I did one for Nobilis, and I had even more requests. So then I did one for my friend Robin from Sunrise Promo, and more love, and next thing you know, I'm doing one for Earl Newton, and then I did one for Geek Acres, and then I did one for my sister Esmeran Adam, and then I did Chooch and PG, and I still have people waiting in my inbox. Yes, I will get to them, but I'm spacing them out so I don't get burnt out on it. It's a lot of fun. I really enjoy it, and it's great to see my little icons all over the place. And every now and then, I see a mention in my Twitter feed where it's like, oh, thank you very much. Yes, my avatar was made by Nukejust. So that was really cool. Did a couple of really fun ones, lots of little geeky ones. Like, you know, I did Kirk on Shatner's birthday, and somehow I got it into my head to do Kermit as Che Guevara, and I made a cat Dalek, and Rory the Dragon as Doctor Who, and Darth Vader, and Jedi Hello Kitty, and then I took superheroes, and I made them into Powerpuff Girls, mostly the DC superheroes, and first I did it as a drawing, Batman, Robin, and Batgirl, and then I did it as vector art. I kind of like the colored pencil drawing. I think that one actually came out quite a bit better. But there's lots of non-geeky things in there too, you know? So go take a look. Tell me what you think. You can find it on the blog at mlast.org/blog, and then look for the category Daily Creativity. You can go to my Flickr and look at the set, Daily Creativity. There's lots of, you know, interesting, fun things there. And a couple of what I wanted to be fundraiser creations, but I'm not quite sure that they became fundraiser creations. But, you know, like I did a crane to try to get people to donate money to the Red Cross for Japan, and I did a root beer ad with what I thought Mason Rocket looked like to try to get people to donate to the Cancer Society and things like that. Just things that were on my mind on that particular day. Anyway, so that was fun.
Psst. I heard on Twitter.
So not too much happening on Twitter these days. I mean, lots is happening, but nothing that I favorited to remind myself of later on. There's quite a few Game of Thrones roleplay characters on Twitter. So you've got people playing Jon Snow and Sansa and Arya and Catelyn and Cersei and Tyrion. Actually, there's two Tyrions at least. I'm sure there's more, but yeah, so I started following a few of them last week, and I have to say it's kind of funny when you get an email saying, Jon Snow is following you. What I'm reading. And I get to mention Game of Thrones in one more segment. Yes, I've finished Game of Thrones, the first book in the series called A Song of Ice and Fire. Although it's interesting, I actually found out that it was originally called A Song of Fire and Ice, but I guess Ice and Fire is how it ended up becoming. I don't know. Anyway, so I finished that up, and it was a reread, as I said in previous episodes, and it was a lot of fun. It was really interesting going back and just looking at a few things, especially now that I'm watching the series again, and noticing a few things and yelling at some of the characters like, you idiot, why are you doing this? Because I know things that are happening in further books. Anyway, so I finished that, and I have now started the Ministry of Peculiar Occurrences in the Books in Bronze series. That was written by T. Morris and Philippa Ballantyne, and it's only available in print at the moment. So, well, print and Kindle and all that nonsense. But yeah, so go get it. Get your copy. I'm going through mine and absolutely loving it. It's a lot of fun. It's a steampunk adventure. Basically, it's like The Avengers meets X-Files in steampunk. It's a lot of fun. And let me see if I can remember my favorite quote. I think it's from the second chapter, so it's like really early on, where Liza Braun says, "But I really like gunpowder and dynamite. And how can you not be all for a book with a main character who really likes gunpowder and dynamite? I know I really like gunpowder and dynamite." So it just kind of makes sense.
Cliffy was born the son of a doxy and a junkie. In a neo-Victorian world, he was the lowest of the low, with no hope of bettering his position. But one day, he witnessed a murder and was offered a unique form of blackmail. In exchange for his silence, he is enrolled in the Malcolm Rutherford Holden Institute of Regentrification. There, in the Hidden Institute, he learns how to walk, talk, and act like nobility so that he can sneak into the ranks of the gentry. But in this world, that kind of fraud carries a death penalty. Royal intrigue, daring escapes, assassins, subdermal machines, and bear polo. The Hidden Institute is a new story by Brand Gamblin, available at hiddeninstitute.com. A grand adventure in a not-so-distant world.
Nutty Debate.
It is Nuke Joss here with the Serial Killer and Tech, and we've got another debate for you. Say hello, boys.
Hello, boys.
Hello, boys.
Okay, so today what we're going to be debating is, it's a bit of a two-parter, but basically we're going to start out with, who is the best Batman?
And now this is the classic debate, of course, yes, when it comes to anybody who's a fan of the DC Comics universe, because you can't be a fan of that universe without really being a fan of Batman.
Yes. And of course, we're going to also address who's the best Joker.
But that's, yeah. Also, that I was going to say, you can't be a DC fan without being a Batman fan, unless you're a fan of Kryptonian babies who hide behind their superpowers and really are cowards.
Well, really, Batman carries the DC universe.
He does.
And as much as I like Superman, Batman will always be number one when it comes to comic
books. Remember the lesson of the powerful childhood movie, Angus. Superman is a coward. He hides behind his powers and goes out there every day knowing that he can't be hurt. Batman's just a guy with a ton of money who likes beating on people who don't have it.
The world's greatest detective.
Batman is really just a rich white dude who loves to beat on poor black guys. Like, what can you not like about that? He's a racist.
The Gotham City is filled with the most white villains of any city.
I know
city.
That's true, of course. He beats on mobsters too. He's an equal opportunity.
As much
lower
as I love
kicker.
Wonder Woman, I will say that Batman's still like one of my all-time faves.
So,
all right.
To quantify, we're not talking the best Batman as written by anybody. We're not talking in the medium of comics.
Because that changes.
We're going to talk in the medium of movies. And I will warn, I will say television series, because anybody who discounts Adam West is doing a disservice to themselves as a Batman fan.
Well, he was the originator. Yeah. He was the yardstick. All the other ones were based
on. As camp as he was, you gotta love the West.
He was quite awesome, and he had a way of speaking that was important, like Shatner.
He went to the William Shatner School of Stop Acting.
Shatnerizing.
And he had the least offensive Robin, because really there were only two of them, Burt Ward and Chris McDouche Nozzle. Chris O'Donnell. Yeah, yeah. There were only the two of them.
Like
and
him.
And Burt Ward never stole no motorcycle.
No, no, he did not.
So,
also, debate fans, Tech here with an apology. Not being the most avid moviegoer, I haven't seen many of the Batman movies in, well, over a decade.
But you've seen them all.
I have seen them all at one time or another, so my references to some of the material might be spotty, shady, and most likely just plain incorrect. So save your internet email bombs and sent viruses for later and another debate. I've already apologized, so take that, internet.
Save them for me, because there is a debate in this series that you are going to hate the Serial Killer for.
Really?
I'm just going to say that right
Coming
now.
Coming to a podcast near you.
I think that one might have already aired.
Or there is one already, and I may not be able to listen to this podcast because my computer will have melted.
Or that earlier comment about Batman beating up black people.
Yes. Yeah. Yes. I am sorry to imply that you are a racist Batman.
And full disclosure, for many people, many people will know that my nickname for the Serial Killer is Batman.
Yes. Yes, it is.
Can you do it for us?
What? I am Batman?
No, you know the, who are you? I'm Batman.
I'm Batman?
No, do it for real. You're being like pathetic. I've heard you do it before.
Who are you?
I'm Batman.
Yeah, like that.
There we go.
See, there we go. I'm the best Batman, but we're going to discount me from
just
me running
liquefied
because...
a bunch of panties and, you know, we can
yes,
be fun.
Yes, that's what that did.
Mm-hmm. Michael Dorn can't do that.
And also, in another debate you've probably already heard right now, again, I will apologize, Mr. Dorn. Now.
Full disclosure, many of these debates were all recorded at once.
Okay, so let's count them down. Who do we have in the running? Who do we have as
our... All right, well, there's Adam West. And there is the guy that did Batman, the animated series. I don't know his name off the top of my head, and I don't have the internet, so I can't check.
I'm going to discount one right away. Just
I didn't even go through them yet.
Can I discount one?
No.
You might not get? Okay, I'll discount one that's
you
not listed.
You suck. Michael Keaton.
Michael Keaton.
Val Kilmer.
George Clooney.
George Clooney. Christian Bale.
Now, you are missing one.
Who am I missing?
Now, you have to be either a hardcore collector of ridiculously crappy DVDs or someone who is old to know this, but the old 1930s serial Batman.
Oh, yeah.
Yes, that I'm going to discount right now because of very racist comments made by Batman.
Yeah, that one doesn't
But that
count.
Was the writer's fault, not the actor.
That
I'm sure
Batman
he was a
did
fine
kill
actor,
a lot of black people. But,
well, no, he killed a lot of, and I'm quoting here, don't think this is for me.
Censorship is good.
That's horrible. I'm editing that out. I don't like that.
Yes, there was something edited there. I will say it right now. Key lime pie.
So those are the people we have for so. Batman. I don't know if Batman the Animated Series is the same guy that did Batman and Beyond, but I'm more familiar with the Animated Series than Batman and Beyond. So.
And I think for the purposes of the best Batman debate, we should probably stick to the non-animated, because the Batman voice alone is not as marquee as the Joker voice, which we'll get to later. It's not as important to the character.
Well, I just don't think that anybody really has many votes for that. I mean, it was a really good Batman in the animated series, but yeah, I'm going to say right now that my votes are that I think that Michael Keaton is the best Bruce Wayne.
Common, yes.
And that Christian Bale is the best Batman so far, though he's not perfect.
The character of Batman and of Bruce Wayne is quite complicated, because you have to have an actor that can do two completely different styles of people. Or one where you need Bruce Wayne, the playboy, who needs to be animated and charismatic and charming and witty, and then you...
And disturbed and emo.
And then he needs to flip the switch, become Batman, where all of that goes away and he turns into this stoic, brooding, but yet still witty... you know, ass kicker.
Yes. So, who are your votes based on?
I like George Clooney as Bruce Wayne. I know, internet hate mail, here we go. Yeah, I'm already getting the weird looks from Nuke. But I do like George Clooney. And I think that with better writing, had they been able to do Bruce Wayne like Billy Ocean?
Ooh.
But you know what? Honestly, I will give you that. I think that George Clooney would have made a good Bruce Wayne. Maybe now, but at the time in his career, he was still the doctor from ER. And
also, we had severe writing issues.
Attack of the Killer Tomatoes, and it just wasn't working.
Because that was just a bad period for Batman in general. That was the period of time that brought Bane to us as a slobbering luchador.
Isn't that also the one with Alicia Silverstone as Batgirl?
Yes, that featured bat nipples.
Which is just wrong.
Right. The most talked about part of those movies was bat nipples.
Which were on him, not her.
Right.
Yes.
And I'm sorry, no. Barbara Gordon is Batgirl. Thank you very much.
She's a redhead.
I'm also going to weigh in here now with my choices. I will agree that it's hard to quantify the Bruce Wayne thing because you do have several factors. Brooding Bruce Wayne, if we're going for a Bruce Wayne that's more contemplative and brooding, definitely Michael Keaton. He played this subtle, low-key. He is the man, as Nuke is saying in the background. I think he proved that in The Other Guys for another movie reference here, but that he continues to be the man. But you do need that playboy Bruce Wayne, not the guy who's going to take a date out to a quiet dinner in his manor and say, look, I have a giant manor that I don't use, I'm brooding. That's not Bruce Wayne, that's Batman who broods. And you've got the George Clooney side, and yes, George Clooney could be that, but I'm honestly, I don't see him as full. And the other thing I'm going to jump right now, I'm a little jumpy, but when you're going on just Batman physicality side, that's probably the only thing Val Kilmer had, was the physicality side of the Batman. He wasn't there otherwise.
I expected more from Val.
Yeah, and there was more to be expected because Val Kilmer is a very good actor. He just did not lend himself well to that role. I'm going to be the guy who goes and potentially goes out on a limb here, but I'm going to say Christian Bale had the all-round package. He presented to us, and it might be Christopher Nolan's influence hugely on this. It may be. But he presented to us a Bruce Wayne that could be the drunken frat boy party kid he needed to be. He could be the guy that shows up to the party with three models on his arm. The guy that drives a Lamborghini just because he can. Who has to choose between the Maserati and the Lamborghini in the morning as to which car goes with his outfit better. As well, though, he can be that more brooding Bruce Wayne that needs to be there at times. He's the guy who's got the emotion and, I agree, best Batman of the lot.
I do think that if Batman Returns wasn't such a horrible script, that your opinion on Michael Keaton would be a little bit different, though. I think that Michael Keaton really does...
Keaton's Returns?
Yeah.
Oh, my brain just shot.
That's the one with...
Keaton was also the original Batman, though, which was a good script.
Yes, it was
script.
Batman and then Batman Returns. Batman Returns was with Michelle Pfeiffer as Catwoman, which was hot. And what's his name? Danny DeVito as...
You forgot Danny DeVito's
Penguin.
Name.
No, I just...
I'm only saying this indignantly because I forgot Danny DeVito's name.
But it was such a horrible script and you had these amazing actors and it came out with such a bad movie. But Michael Keaton's Batman is still a really good Batman because what does everybody think of when they think of Batman? What did we do in the beginning of this? Who are you? I'm Batman. That's Michael Keaton.
The problem with this debate is that most of the actors playing Batman cannot be given a fair shot, as we've all brought up, because honestly, the movies were horrible. I don't have very fond memories of, up until the new trilogy.
The Dark Knight series,
The Dark Knight series of movies. Until these, I don't have very fond memories of this franchise. As much as I love Batman and love the entire franchise as a whole, these movies are bad.
What you will, Batman Forever had a great soundtrack.
It really did. But I mean,
a soundtrack is not Jim Carrey, forgive.
No, I mean, Jim Carrey as the Enigma. You've got the Danny DeVito Penguin thing. You've got Arnold Schwarzenegger as Mr. Freeze. I mean, these are all horrible.
I will argue that there was one good script before the current trilogy. You've got two good treatments of Batman. Christopher Nolan's Batman and the first modern Batman movie.
Yes.
Mm-hmm.
The Michael Keaton one. And as a person who enjoys the first Batman movie, I still don't see Keaton in it. And Keaton, that was Keaton's shot for me. And it didn't quite gel.
Yeah.
It didn't, because he's got moments where he can. I'm torn
between Keaton and Bale, but.
And I might just have a man crush on Christian Bale. That might be it, too.
So. I have a girl crush on Christian Bale. Did ever since Newsies.
He can dance.
Because you can.
And sing.
Christian Bale got the. And I can agree with what you said about, you know, voting for Christian Bale. And you can see that, you know, Christopher Nolan gave him the fair shot. Which is why, and you know, with the good script and the good everything, which is why we're able to see him as. But like I was saying before, if we could see Val Kilmer, you know, Val Kilmer as Simon Templar as Bruce Wayne,
or George
Clooney as Billy Ocean as Bruce Wayne, with better writing, better movies, better support, I think we'd have a much livelier and more animated.
Although I do have to say, with the way that George Clooney has always looked older than he actually is, I could actually see George Clooney being Bruce Wayne Batman for like a live action. Is I think it's Batman Beyond, where that it's basically Batman semi-retired.
Yes.
Yeah. That kind of a thing would be really interesting.
I honestly think, and I think Tech's 100% right here when he says that it's these actors weren't given a fair shot.
No.
They were Brockheimerized.
They were thrown into the Scriptomatic 3000.
They were Brockheimerized.
These are the hot names of the year, and we'll just throw them together.
Or was it Schumacher that we got to blame?
They're
general ignorance.
Schumacher's
moment.
One of them at least.
So shall we?
Before we move on, though, I must say we have to give great respect and much ado to Adam West. Because without Adam West, we would not have the campy Batman. The Batman that we grew up with. The blam, splat, and pow Batman. And
by the way, all hail blam, splat, and pow Batman.
Yeah.
There would be no Batman in my mind without that original introduction. Which bridges, by the way, to the next part of the debate.
All right, I'll let you introduce that.
The next part of the debate being you can't have Batman without the Joker. They're the defining two characters of the entire universe when it comes to each other, one without the other, as has been proven multiple times, possibly no more adeptly than by the writing of more recent arcs by Kevin Smith. They can't exist without each other. Slight spoiler, I'm not spoiling anything for anybody who hasn't read it.
By the time this airs, I'll have read it, but still in my suitcase waiting to be read.
Not spoiling anything, just saying. It has been adeptly proven many times that without each other, they cannot exist. The movies, the more modern movies also handle that very well, and the Joker debate. Who's the best Joker? And I'm going to field one of the names right there is Sid Caesar, being that... That classic camp put the Joker in everybody's mind just right. And classic camp works for the Joker.
It yes, does. He is classic does. Camp, and that's what works. We've also got Jack Nicholson, the first reinvention of the Batman, of the Joker, which showed us another take.
A darker take.
A
realistic take.
Yes.
The mafioso turned... crazy supervillain. I mean, it
was perfect.
It is possibly one of the only times that we do actually see the Joker's origin story, because in the comics at least, and we see this with Heath Ledger's great performance as the Joker, he constantly talks about his origin, and it's always a different story. You never actually know what the real story with the Joker is, and there are several comics where I could have sworn I was reading the actual origin of the Joker, and then you find
but
out
he's such a devious and twisted mind that he will never. I don't even think the Joker knows where he
I don't
came
think
from.
He does.
He's
I think
lost
he's
it
got
in his
like
own
multiple
madness.
Personalities, so he has multiple origins.
And we've got to say, of course, the beautifully worn Glasgow smile of Heath Ledger is perhaps the most lasting. And
this is the most recent, also.
And perhaps one of the most disheartening ones ever, because Heath gives one of the performances of his lifetime, and we tragically lose him shortly after.
Again, another complete reinvention of the character going in another direction. And I think this is one of the few times in moviedom where you have a character completely reinvented in every iteration in a franchise. I mean, if you look at other great villains or great heroes, you know, they stay or they evolve through an arc, but there's never been a complete redraw of a character in every instance
No, I mean, even the different Batmans, they're still the same character, mm-hmm. even though you've got radically different actors that could have taken it in radically different directions. It's still Batman.
Well, the even Joker in the was comics,
but
even in the comics, Joker is a different Joker all the time, depending on the year.
Which lends itself again to the fact that he's got such a diseased mind. He doesn't know who he is to be that same Joker every time.
Granted, Batman is generally always Batman. There are some differences, you know. There is the Batman who kills and the Batman who doesn't kill and stuff like that, but really he's the same guy.
There is casually tossing someone off of a subway platform Batman. Yep. There is creepy French mustache using a machine gun to mow bad guys down Batman as well.
I think I missed that one.
There's using Joe Chill's gun to kill bad or to hunt bad guys Batman. There are a few killer Batmans. Yeah. But oh, you missed ridiculous French mustache one?
Yeah, I missed the French
because
mustache.
Because that was before all of our times. Probably, it's probably almost twice as old as us.
Well, I've read some of the original, and then...
Yes.
You know,
so we have to add one more into the debate of the Joker, because one of the signature components to the Joker character is the voice, and the laugh, especially. The Joker laugh is the signature. It's the card. It's as important as the makeup. So you have to add Mark Hamill. Yes, Luke Skywalker is the voice of the Joker in the animated series and in the recent video games, the Arkham series.
I just got a thought, and I really want to see this. Luke, I am your father. Vader, I'm the Joker.
Oh my. I would like to see, just the Joker quoting random Star Wars lines now. But he's a fan.
Yes, Mark Hamill as the animated series and the various animated series and Arkham Asylum is quite an amazing Joker. I think Tech is 100% right here.
And I think in this debate, the hardest part is choosing a favorite when we've pointed it out. The Joker is radically different in every appearance. And it comes down to now just more personal preference. And I think it was sad that so much attention. I'm gonna go with Heath Ledger. And
I thought you were going to go with
Sid Caesar.
Yeah.
Sid Caesar created the groundwork for everybody that came. But I think Heath Ledger, I think it was sad that his death was used to hype the movie so much. And so much focus was on the fact that people were saying he gave a great performance because he died. And
I think people would have said that anyway.
I think they would have said it anyway, but here's the line in the sand I'm going to draw. He would never have been mentioned because it is a comic book movie for an Academy Award.
I agree.
Because if he was alive.
I agree.
And that is cruel and unusual.
That was them trying to make up for the fact that he hadn't gotten one for all his other stuff.
But it's he should have got one regardless of whether he lived or died. It was one of the most defining moments of acting in a comic book movie ever.
He deserved the nod for the movie, whether he lived or died.
Yes.
And he deserved the one. He deserved it for Brokeback, the one he never got. And, you know, there's all the debate about that. Then they say that the one he got for this was the one that he deserved for Brokeback.
But,
you know,
it was, like, when he came onto the screen, when they had the reveal of the Joker in there, and just the little nuances and the little mannerisms, you were unsettled. If you weren't unsettled, you should probably put on some clown makeup and go rob a bank yourself.
Most
because
unsettling
you
scene,
are mentally unstable.
Most unsettling scene is when he's dressed up as the nurse.
No, that
I
wasn't unsettling.
I just love
that
it.
Was titillating.
Okay, Tech.
Wow, my favorite. I am going to have to vote for Mark Hamill. The vocal performance that he gives, even without seeing the visuals, just hearing the voice and the laugh, it's what my mind's eye thinks of as the Joker. I hear that dry, raspy laugh and the little gags, the horrible, horrible puns, this is what makes the Joker. It's a personality. It's not a purple or a black suit. It's not scars or face paint. It's not how he wields a knife or walks down a hallway. It's the personality,
or the myriad of personalities that makes the Joker.
It's the cult of personality, the persona that he puts out there.
Exactly. And Mark Hamill captured that. I don't want to say better than the others, but he does it very, very well and makes what I think of as the Joker. This is not to take away from anybody else's performance because they're all so different in different ways. The original, the yardstick that we measure all Joker by, the fact that, you know, even though the original series was horribly campy, the Joker is horribly campy. That's what he's supposed to be. He's supposed to be shtick and works well. Heath Ledger, what can you say? What else can we say about the performance? I mean, the man nailed it perfectly.
I'm not sure you need to say anything because everyone's already said it.
This disturbed psychopath, Jack Nicholson, taking another disturbed psychopath, taking it in another direction, while still. He managed to portray the psychopathy in a lighter mood than Heath Ledger did. He still managed to keep a bit of the camp.
Yeah, he did have a bit more of the camp factor. And the laughs that you get from the Heath Ledger Joker were much more guilty pleasures. They were. I'm also going to give Mark Hamill extra points, by the way, for having played
Forget You
Puncher in Jay and Silent Bob Strikes Back.
I am the walrus.
Do I censor that or no. not? I don't know.
Jiminy Cricket.
Knocker.
Yeah, yes. Well, if I don't want an explicit tag on this podcast,
hey, kids,
I'm not sure.
It's Mark Hamill. Expletive deleted Puncher. Or Knocker, if you will. I would rather Puncher, but Knocker is the real one. Yes.
Block Knocker.
There we go, Block Knocker.
So my vote is actually, it's a tricky one. I will give Mark Hamill points because I think that for me, at least for the voice, Mark Hamill, his Joker is, it's the Alan Moore Joker. Like, I believe that Joker would do to Barbara Gordon what he did, and I'm not going to say because I don't want to spoil for anybody, but...
I'm sorry, spoil? That's like decades old.
It doesn't matter if you haven't read it. It's...
Children might discover Batman too. I'm sorry. Or those of you who have been in prison for a really long time not yet know.
Tech hasn't read it yet.
Oh. That's why I didn't say anything. I just said it's decades old.
But Barbara's okay, right?
Yes. Yes, Barbara is perfectly cromulent.
Basically, okay. The thing is, you should read the trade. It's amazing, but make sure it's not like on a bad day or a day that you're having too many negative thoughts or anything, because it's a bit of a downer.
Yes. Make sure to have some lolcats on standby.
Yeah. Mm. Especially if you really liked Barbara Gordon like I did. But that to me...
Yeah, no spoilers.
No spoilers.
What? I didn't say what happened to her. It's just something horrible. But
at least she doesn't get Jason Todded.
Oh.
You can fill me in on that one?
Robin.
Oh.
It was the second Robin.
Oh, no.
Yes. We're really risking spoiler territories with tech here, so we're probably going to have to wrap this up fairly quickly. Who are you choosing?
So my choice, yeah, it's hard because I really do like Jack Nicholson and I really do like Sid Caesar because, I mean, that's just classic, and how can you not vote for classic? And Heath was awesome. And so we may have a four-way tie, but the next question is, Heath is not here anymore. And the way they set it up is they set it up to be a sequel with the Joker. So, who plays the Joker in the next movie?
Well, there is no Joker in the next movie. This has been confirmed.
No,
already,
I know, but if they were
if
to
they
do...
If they were to... And I honestly thought there was a perfect setup in there in... forgive me, I'm going to get... Oh, yes, it's Anthony Hall. The reporter.
Really?
He went missing. He disappeared. He just was gone.
Uh-huh.
Did not appear again anytime in there. So where is he? I think if they were to stretch and want a Joker in there without Heath Ledger, someone who was psychologically battered and tortured by the Joker, taking on traits of their tormentor and going insane himself would be a very fitting end.
Like the Maid Reaver in Firefly?
Yes.
Huh. Okay. Because my big problem is, okay, so you replace him, but do you start a brand new Joker, or does somebody try to do Heath, and I don't think that'll
work. Nobody
could.
I'll tack on an initial
That's kind
demand.
Of an interesting idea.
No one can fill Heath Ledger's shoes into that creation of the Joker, so they've sort of, you know, they've sort of written into a wall here. I will say, though, that whatever decision they make with the next Joker, please, 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 DC gods, can we at least get a Harley Quinn to go with our Joker?
Oh, yes.
Please?
And let's not have, like, something lame like we've seen in the earlier films, you know.
Helena Bonham Carter.
Ooh.
I'm just going to throw those words out there. All of you nerds that need to suddenly find some tissue, I'm sorry.
I'm going to get an explicit tag. I
said nothing explicit there, and I was quoting the name of someone earlier, thank you very much, misquoting the name of someone there, but quoting the name of someone indeed.
I have to say, I think that Helena Bonham Carter would probably make a really good Harley Quinn, especially if you've seen her play Bellatrix Lestrange in the Harry Potter movies. I know you guys aren't fans, but...
You have just sullied the good name of Helena Bonham Carter.
No, she's awesome.
By bringing up something that she was in that she was not in.
She was. Shut up. She was, and she was awesome. You would dig it.
Maybe I'll just watch those clips.
You're an idiot.
I keep looking for something I can't get, broken hearts left.
The music you heard tonight was a cover by After How of I Just Died in Your Arms Tonight. You can find them by going to YouTube and looking up Drawn to Fire 18, or just follow the link in the show notes. The members of After How, by the way, are also the two fantastic ladies that do the Lavender Lane podcast, your friendly gayborhood podcast. Nutty Bites is produced by Nimlas Studios. You can find us at nimlas.org/blog. Contact feedback at nuttybites@nimlas.org. Call our voicemail line at 347-NUTTY-42 or 347-688-8942. This work is licensed under a Creative Commons Attribution Non-Commercial No Derivatives 3.0 Unported License. Basically, you can share it, you can send it around to your friends, just don't change it, don't sell it, don't try to make any money off of it, and link back to me, my site, and everything. And like, for instance, when something happens on the podcast, I mean... Blah, blah, blah. Robot, it's getting hot in here. Okay. Stupid garage band. Why do I record in it? It keeps hurting me, and I keep going back, and I don't know why, but I just keep going back because it's comfortable, and I don't have to cut things up. Anyway, that'll go in the blooper reel. We also got two new iTunes reviews in iTunes US. If I can actually go to it. Hang on. I'm in Canada. Let me go to US. Doobie doobie doo. Come on. Why are you giving me a spinning beach ball? Yes, stop the script. Sorry.